Earlier this month, after talking with Kim Kardashian, President Trump commuted the sentence of 63-year-old grandmother Alice Johnson, who'd been serving a life sentence without parole for a first-time nonviolent drug offense. Turns out thousands of people are also serving life sentences for nonviolent drug offenses, and they want their sentences commuted as well. In a moment, we'll hear from the daughter of one of those inmates. But joining us now is Kara Gotch of the advocacy group The Sentencing Project. Kara, welcome to Here and Now.
Thank you.
Well, Kara, how many nonviolent drug offenders like Alice Johnson are serving life sentences in federal prison right now?
There are about 2,000 people who are incarcerated with a life without parole sentence for a drug offense.
For a drug offense. And then there are many more who are serving some time for a nonviolent drug offense.
Yes, absolutely. About half the total federal prison population is serving a sentence for a drug offense. There's about 185,000 people in the federal prison system, and just under half are there for a drug offense.
And have most of them asked for clemency?
That's hard to know. During the Obama years, at the end of his term, there was a big push for clemency, but they set specific criteria. About 30,000 people petitioned during that time period. The vast majority of those people were drug offenses because that's who he was interested in hearing from. And there was a big pro bono push by attorneys to make sure that those people got their applications before President Obama left term. So, Yeah, I would say a lot of them have filed over the years.
And is the president the only person who can help them with that?
To grant clemency, yes. Mm-hmm. The president of the United States is the only one who can commute or pardon a sentence.
So do you expect that because of the work of people like Kim Kardashian and other advocates, maybe NFL players, that more of these nonviolent drug offenders are going to get their sentences commuted?
You know, it's hard to know. I don't know what's in the heart of President Trump. He has indicated that he's willing to look at more people. You know, President Obama commuted close to 2,000 people before the end of his term. I know a lot of people hoped he would commute a lot more people, including myself. I hoped a lot more people would gain their freedom, but that didn't happen. You know, whether President Trump wishes to follow in the footsteps of President Obama, I don't know the answer to that, but I certainly would love to see him move forward in commuting sentences for thousands of people.
Well, Kara, stand by. I want to bring in Ebony Underwood, who is the daughter of William Underwood, who's been in prison for 30 years on nonviolent drug conspiracy charges. In 1990, he was sentenced to life without the possibility of parole. Ebony, you're hoping that President Trump will grant him clemency.
I absolutely am.
And do you think that'll happen?
I'm hoping that it will. I mean, we've been fighting for a long time. My father, he was convicted of four counts for his for drug conspiracy charges. And the first three counts he served and completed in 2008. And now he's serving a life without parole sentence. That was a sentencing enhancement made by the judge and the prosecutor and not by a jury. So his Sixth Amendment rights were violated. And so from that point on, he's always been fighting. And thus, we have also been fighting as his children. I'm one of four of his children. And Obama really got us excited about potentially, you know, creating some relief for my dad, because in federal prison, there is no parole. So when you have a life without parole sentence, it is literally a death sentence.
Why didn't he get that commutation from President Obama, do you think?
I have no idea. It was me. It was my dad. It was Miss Alice Johnson. There were several others who were like fighting. We were all like fighting really, you know, really pushing for our family members to come home. It's really sad. I was so disappointed. It's as if we like completely got ignored. It's so crazy to me. I don't know. I have no idea.
What does your dad think about this? I mean, he's been serving many, many years, 30 years in prison with a life sentence still facing him.
Oh, my gosh. I have to tell you, at the 25-year mark, which is where I decided to actually go public, my father, I think, you know, he had been going through the process, appealing as he was supposed to, following the law and appealing. And unfortunately, there were some things that kind of destroyed his ambition to continue to appeal. You know, one of those things was the act that was put in place by Clinton where it prevented federal prisoners to continue to appeal their cases after a certain number of times. Mm-hmm. And so he was really moved to ask my sister and my brothers and I to start this website called InPrison.net because he felt like it was an injustice for, prisoners to not have the right to appeal their cases. I mean, people deserve second chances. So how can you prevent that? So at the 25-year mark, when President Obama said that, wow, we're going to reform the criminal justice system, oh my gosh, he was so excited. My older brother was so excited and actually kind of moved me to say, wow, this may be his only opportunity. He's never stopped being an incredible dad. And I just felt like it was my onus to just, I was compelled to say something or do something for him. And so I decided to go public and trying to create as much awareness about this subject and about my dad, who is, really, to me, he seems to be a changed person. It's kind of interesting, when he was arrested, he was already solidified in his music industry career. He was an executive in the music industry. He was a publisher, a manager, a promoter, and an advisor to many, many artists in the R&B and pop world. And so, these charges that came against him were from when he was a teenager. And it was really sad that he got pulled into this whole thing due to conspiracy charges.
Well, let me ask you about that. I mean, he was convicted of racketeering conspiracy, narcotics mm-hmm. conspiracy, and being leader of a gang called the Vigilantes, mm-hmm. which was accused of committing 6 murders and controlling the heroin trade in parts of Harlem. Have you thought about what you think would be a reasonable sentence for somebody who was, convicted of those things?
Yeah, it's unfortunate. The conviction that was made in the time he was part of the first round of convictions that were made under the War on Drugs era. Mm-hmm. And so, interestingly enough, if you know anything about that time, there was just this moment where these mandatory minimum sentences came about due to the sentencing guidelines that came into play in 1987. My father was arrested in 1988. And 2 years prior, there was an FBI investigation done on him. And they basically closed the case because it was due to lack of activity. So like I was saying, he may have done some things when he was younger. And I don't know that he was involved in any of those murders that he was convicted of, because those RICO charges that he received are unspecified RICO charges. They were never clarified. So interestingly enough, there were other people that were incarcerated that testified against him. The prosecution used that conspiracy, and ultimately, my father was convicted. But there was never any evidence. There was never any cameras. There was never any pictures. There was never any drugs found. It was all, and the reason why I know all of this is because I asked. I mean, for me, if I was going to come forward, I knew questions like this would be asked, and I wanted to know for myself, because for many years I didn't even know, and I was, it's heartbreaking. That's your dad to hear these kind of things. So I wanted to be sure that I was aware of what happened and really delve deeply into the case. And as I began to delve deeply into the case, I began to see the holes, and I really saw that it's true. His Sixth Amendment rights were violated. And because he didn't, go along and cooperate or mm-hmm. provide substantial assistance, he ultimately was I feel like made an example of.
So what do you think would have been a reasonable sentence for him?
I don't know. I mean, I'm not a prosecutor. I'm not a judge. I don't know. I wouldn't be able to answer that. I don't know. I think that a jury should have been present and should have made that decision rather than the judge and the prosecutor. And then secondly, what's interesting as well is that in all my father's appeals, all the laws that were used to deny his appeals have now been overturned and they're deemed unconstitutional by the U.S. Supreme Court. However, because they lack retroactivity, meaning they don't apply to old cases, he's just literally sitting in legal limbo under these mm-hmm. laws that are no longer applicable. So it's really, really like sad and it's unjust. And I feel like he's over incarcerated at this point. He's done 30 years. I feel like he's over incarcerated.
So, Kara, when you listen to that, What is the next step for somebody like Ebony and her father, William? I mean, is it as simple as try to make friends with Kim Kardashian and get the message right to President Trump?
Well, I don't know how easy it is for anyone to become best friends with Kim Kardashian. I do think it's important that President Trump hear about the case of William Underwood. And I'm so glad that Emily is here as a spokesperson for him because, you know, life imprisonment, dying in prison is too harsh. And as people age, like William Underwood, like Alice Johnson, the threat they pose to public safety diminishes significantly. And keeping someone in prison into their golden years serves no public safety interest. It's a waste of money, it's a waste of resources, and it harms families and it harms individuals.
That's Kara Gotch, who is Director of Strategic Initiatives at the Sentencing Project. We've also been speaking with Ebony Underwood, whose father, William Underwood, has been in prison for 30 years on nonviolent drug conspiracy charges. Thanks to both of you for joining us.
Thank you so much for having us.